Well, if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 7, okay, Romans chapter 7. And as Amanda said, we are in this series titled Find and Follow, because as a church, we want to help you find and follow Jesus, but also as we are following the Lord, we want to help other people find and follow Jesus and come to a relationship with him. And so over the last few weeks, we've been using this tool that's on the screen. We call it the Spiritual Engagement Journey. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the different phases that a person could find themselves in. And I would encourage you to kind of identify where you may be. And so a few weeks back, we looked at those in that spiritually curious phase. This is those that are asking some questions about faith, about Jesus. And then we talked about crossing over. We call it crossing that line of faith, putting your trust in Jesus. And really that next step for you, if you made that decision, is to be baptized. This reveals our union with Jesus, that as he died and rose, so we die to our old way of life. We are raised to a new life with Christ. Last week, Rusty looked at how in that follower stage, we can sometimes feel stuck. And how we need to invite Jesus into every area of our life. And this morning, we're going to continue in that follower stage and really continue to talk about how we can find ourselves stuck at times in that journey with Jesus. And one of the reasons that we can feel stuck or that we get stuck is because of our ongoing battle with sin. We have this internal struggle with sin. Now, what takes place when you put your faith or your trust in Jesus, the biblical term for what takes place is you are justified, right? Before God, before we know Christ and we accept him as our Savior, we have a sin debt. Our God is loving, he is compassionate, but he is also holy and just. And because of our sin, and really it's just not that we lie or we steal, those are bad enough, but we are rejecting God, that we don't desire the Lord. And because of our sin, we have this sin debt. We will be separated from the Lord. But when a person puts your trust or your reliance, not on what you can do, but on what Christ has done for you, you are justified. It's this courtroom language that you had this debt, that debt was removed, and now you have the righteousness of Jesus. This amazing exchange that takes place, that your sin is removed. But it's not that we just start over. No, we get the perfect righteousness of Jesus, right? We are declared righteous before God. What's amazing about the gospel when a person is justified is when God the Father looks at you, he no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees that sin debt, but instead he sees the perfect righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. That's justification. Now, this isn't where we stop. As we grow in our faith, as we mature in our faith, this term, the biblical term, is called sanctification. That's kind of a big churchy word, but all that means is you are growing and looking more like Jesus and how you think and how you act, those type of things. Now, to give you a little bit of a picture of your justification, this is young Leo, right? I know this movie's kind of dating me a little bit, but this is Leo in the movie Titanic. He is king of the world, right? Anybody remember this movie? It's an old one, but it's good. All right, he is king of the world. He's been justified, we might say, but this is what sanctification looks like. Hey, a little beat up. This is old Leo. This is from the movie The Revenant. You know why he looks like that? He just got beat up and tore up by a bear, all right? And this can be a little bit like our spiritual journey of following the Lord. At times, we can feel a little beat up in that process of becoming more like Christ. It's a challenge to become more like Christ. It's a challenge in that sanctification process, and sometimes we can feel and look a little bit like old Leo here. Now, for me, and I'm sure for many of us, one of the most frustrating parts of following Jesus is the sanctification process. Not because I don't want to become more like Jesus, we all want that, but because of how hard and difficult it can be, and because of that internal struggle that we have with sin. Right? I get beat up with my sin. I get frustrated with it. I get discouraged at times. Right? I mean, I continue to struggle with sins that I dealt with when I was a teenager. Now in my 40s, it's still there. I get so discouraged. You feel that? You know, maybe for you, it's anger. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe it's lust. I mean, fill in the blank. And we have those sins that continue to draw us back. And we feel defeated at times. We can ask forgiveness of that certain sin or these certain sins. And maybe a few hours later, maybe a couple days later, we fall back into it again. And again, we can get so discouraged at times, we can get depressed. We're not moving fast enough. We're not looking like Christ, and it can wear us out. And that's how I feel. And I'm sure for many of us in the room today, that's how you feel. This internal struggle just beats us down at times. But you know, we're not unique in this. And actually find somebody that may be surprising to you that also struggled with that. And that was the Apostle Paul. Now, if you're not familiar with Paul, you're kind of new to church or new to the Bible, let me kind of give you a few highlights of this great man of the Lord. Our New Testament has 27 books, and 13 of those were written by Paul. In addition, before Paul became a Christian, he was what was called a Pharisee. The Pharisees are this religious group, and in the Gospels, as you're reading about their encounters with Jesus, they're not held up in the best light, and that's for good reason, because they're often opposing Jesus. But one of the impressive things about this group is how serious they took the Bible. Now, they often interpreted it wrong, but they took it very serious, and they would memorize most, if not all, of the Old Testament. I mean, I can't even remember my license plate number, right? If I was in a store and it came across the thing that, hey, so-and-so license plate, and they gave the number, you left your engine on and your lights are on, I'd say, what a dummy. And then I'd go out there and it was me, right? I can't remember this. But here's Paul. I mean, he remembered, memorized. This is impressive. Most of the Old Testament, maybe all of it. And he also wrote half of the New Testament. But that's not all. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to this church he established. And he's trying to be humble, but he kind of starts writing in this weird way. And he says, I know this man. There's this man, and he was caught up into the third heaven. He's saying 14 years ago, before I'm writing this letter to you, he said, I was caught up into heaven, and I can't even speak of the things I saw and experienced. It was too great. Have you experienced that? I don't think so. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. But not only that, Paul suffered so much for his faith. I mean, this is a guy that was sold out for Christ. He loved Christ. He loved people. And so he suffered for his faith. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left at sea overnight, all these different things. But on top of some of those physical struggles, he had the emotional toil of the churches that were often so difficult for him. He was in prison one time because of his faith, and many of his friends abandoned him. He says only the Lord was with him. And he did all this because he loved Christ so much. And then lastly, Paul had one of these amazing conversion experiences. I wanted one of these when I grew up. See, I grew up in the church, and you know, when I was that kid, I wanted that. Man, I went away from the Lord. I lived it up, and then I got saved, and it was clear I got saved. Now, I realized when I got older how the Lord had blessed me with Christian parents and growing up in the church, and just really what a blessing that was. But when I was younger, I wanted that crazy conversion experience where there was no doubt the Lord changed your life. And this is what Paul experienced. This is a guy that hated Christians. He was persecuting Christians. He was throwing them in jail, having them killed. He was on his way on the Damascus Road to do more of that when the risen Lord Jesus appeared to him and transformed his life. There was no doubt what took place in Paul's life. But yet, after Paul had been a Christian for over two decades, after all that he went through, after all that he had done for the Lord, I mean, Paul is like this super Christian, but yet after 20 years of following Jesus, he says this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And then if you go down to verse 18, the second part of that verse, Paul continues, he says, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. We may not always relate to Paul, but we can relate to Paul in this. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul never did anything. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. He did great things for the Lord, but yet he was saying there are times where he wanted to go this way or do this for the Lord, but instead he went this way and it beat him up and he got so tired of it, right? We can relate to this. We wanna treat our spouse and our kids better, but we don't. We don't wanna go to that website or pull up this image on our phone, but we do. We don't want to have that outburst of anger, but here it comes again. teenagers or maybe in your 20s, I think this is especially a temptation. You have that group of friends and they continue to pull you away from the Lord, and it may be that you need to end that relationship because it never ends up well for you. Maybe it's gossip. I mean, you fill in the blank. What are maybe the one, two, or three sins that you continue to struggle with and continue to fight with? And this is Paul. And because of this, we can get to the point like Paul does in verse 24. I mean, Paul's writing of his experience, okay? And he says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" That word wretched means miserable. It means troubled. It means worn out. Worn out and beaten up because of the internal fight and struggle with sin. Have you been there? Are you there right now? You feel worn out with your sin, beaten up by your sin, of not doing the things you want to do. Feel so discouraged. But look again at what Paul says in verse 24. Paul, after stating what a miserable man he is, how worn out he is with sin, he says, "Who will rescue me?" Notice what Paul says and doesn't say. He doesn't say, "What can rescue me?" We might think when we struggle with sin, what do I need to do? Do I need to read the Bible more? Do I need to pray more? And yes, to all that, but that's not where Paul goes. He says, "Who will rescue me?" He says, "I'm frustrated. I'm discouraged. I'm worn out. I'm beaten up with my sin. Who will rescue me?" That distinction is so important. It's not a what, it's a who. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Paul says in verse 25. He says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Again, remember Paul, he's been a Christian for over 20 years, right? If you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 50 years, and you still are fighting with sin, right? That is not unique. This is Paul. And what does Paul do after all of this time of following the Lord, after all these great things he's done for Christ? He goes to the gospel. He goes to what Christ has done for him. He turns his attention to Jesus. See, so often our tendency is to kind of think of the gospel as the beginning point, right? In those phases of spiritually curious, we say, okay, I'm in that spiritually curious phase. I crossed that line of faith. I'm now a believer. That's where the gospel applies, that I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, that he rose from the dead. This is God the Father accepting the sacrifice of Jesus. That's the gospel. And it's that beginning point. And yes, the gospel applies there. That is what we put our trust in, but we continue to trust in the gospel. And when we feel frustrated and disappointed and discouraged in that internal struggle with sin, we continue to look to Christ. We continue to go to the gospel. We grow deeper into the gospel. And so as Paul is struggling, right? Again, feeling worn out by it all. As he's dwelling on the gospel, he then moves into Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and he says this: "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I mean, what a verse. I hope this is one you have memorized, that you go to often, that when we reach that point, like Paul, in our walk with Christ, where we feel beaten up, we remind ourselves that if we're in Christ, meaning we put our trust in Jesus, we will never be condemned. Do you believe that? Amen. You will not be condemned for your past sin. You will not be condemned for your present sin. You will not even be condemned for your future sin. That's the gospel. This is the hope that we have. And as that takes root, as we turn our attention to Christ in those moments of despair, we can be like Christ, like Paul, who says, "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, my Lord, through Jesus Christ, my Savior." Now, as we reflect on this experience of struggling with sin and what Paul is saying in this verse, in these verses, I want us to consider three realities of this struggle, okay? And the first is this: your struggle with sin is a common experience as a follower of Jesus, all right? One of the misconceptions that can take place when a person puts their trust in Jesus is they think just everything gets better. Now, in one sense, it does. We have a new joy, a new hope, a new satisfaction. But it's not exactly like a light switch that our old way is just totally gone. No, there is a struggle that we have following Jesus. There was a young guy who was going to church consistently, and he was engaged in worship and small group. I mean, he was checking all the boxes. He was doing all the stuff. But then after about 3 months, he disappeared. And then this pastor of this church ran into him, and he said, "Hey, where you been? I missed you." And this guy responded with, "Well, when I put my trust in Jesus, I thought everything would get better. I thought my life would improve. I thought there'd be no more problems. I thought there'd be no more struggle with sin." But see, he was mistaken. As a follower of Jesus, yes, again, we have a new joy, a new hope, a new satisfaction. We are forgiven. But that doesn't mean there will be no struggle in following Christ. If you look at the words of Jesus when he speaks of those making that decision to follow him or not, he says you need to count the costs. That as you follow him, you need to deny yourself, that you need to be continually putting sin to death in your life, to fight temptation. See, as followers of Jesus, we need to understand the battle that we are in, and we need to have the proper mindset. You know, maybe you experienced this as a teenager, maybe as a new job, where you kind of went into it thinking it was going to be this way, but actually very quickly you realized it was this way. Now, I don't say this as to be a follower of Jesus, just this awful experience. No, it's wonderful. Again, we have a new hope in Christ. We are a new creation. But the reality is we will fight sin in this life because we are trying to become more like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my encouragement to you, what I'm trying to really give you comfort in, is that you are not unique if you have this struggle. All followers of Jesus have this struggle. And what I want you to realize is to change that mindset if you need to focus on Christ and to realize the battle we are in, the fight that we are in to put sin to death in our life. The second reality is this: your struggle with sin is evidence that you are a follower of Jesus. Now, this might surprise you, but your struggle with sin is actually evidence you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't ever want to get comfortable with our sin, right? But how could I say this? I mean, how does that make sense? It's because before you crossed that line of faith, before Jesus' spirit was working in your life, you had no desire for Jesus. Until the Spirit of God was working in your heart, it did not bother you if you sinned or not. In fact, if you had no church background, God did not even factor into your life. Now, if you grew up in church, maybe a little bit because it was more of a guilt thing of how this is how I'm supposed to do. But again, if you didn't grow up in church, you could care less about God. The language that Paul uses is that before Christ, you and I lived according to the flesh, according to what you wanted, focused on yourself, me focused on myself. But as a follower of Jesus, we now live according to the Spirit of God. See, as a Christian, we now have new desires. We now have new affections because we are a new creation in Jesus. Now, we experience this as believers, but we can relate to this in all different areas of our life, right? I can think of high school guys where before you didn't care what you looked like, what your hair looked like, maybe even what you smelled like. But then what happened? There was that girl, right? You have a new desire. You have new affections. Maybe it's your job. You're just kind of going along. But then there was this great opportunity and you got more serious and you started working hard. Why? You had that new affection, right? Maybe recently you got a bad health report, right? You're a little older and you're going, "I'm gonna have to start exercising. Maybe I gotta start eating better because I wanna be around for my grandkids." Why would you do all that? You have a new desire, a new affection. And that is what takes place when you follow Christ. Before Jesus, before you put your trust in him, you did not care. You lived according to the flesh. But now as a Christian, we are to live according to God's Spirit. But yet within that, there's still, as Paul calls it, that old man, that old sinful flesh is still in there pulling us away. This is what Paul is struggling with. He says, "I want to go this way. I want to do these things, but that old sinful flesh is still in there pulling me away, and we have to continue to fight against it." But again, my encouragement to you is that if you are struggling with sin, it really just grieves you. It means you are a follower of Jesus, right? We don't want to get comfortable in that, but it is a good sign that Christ has been working in your life, right? You begin to hate sin more and more. Right? If you've been a Christian now, maybe for, let's say, 5 or 10 years, or maybe even longer, again, go back to some of those sins you struggle with. Again, maybe it's gossip or anger or lust, whatever, fill in the blank. But can you remember, let's say you became a Christian at 20 and now you're 50. Do you see how the Lord has been working? That maybe you go longer stretches without falling back into that sin. That when you do that sin, when you are a younger Christian, yeah, it bothered you some, but now it really grieves you. This is a sign that God's Spirit is working in your life. And so take comfort. I know it may sound odd, but take comfort that when you are grieved by your sin, it is actually pointing that you are, in fact, a follower of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, your struggle with sin reveals the unchanging love that God has for you as a follower of Jesus, his unchanging love and his grace. Aren't you continually amazed at how gracious and how patient and how kind God is to us as his followers, as his children? Right, when I reflect on my sin, when you reflect on your sin, doesn't it amaze you that God continues to be gracious? He continues to forgive, that he continues to draw you back? Have there been some seasons in your life where you were just going away from God, even as a Christian, and you were grieved by that, but you kept doing it and kept doing it, but yet you felt God drawing you back, pursuing you, bringing you back to him because of his grace for you? But you know, one of the things that can happen as we follow the Lord more and more, longer and longer, is what began with grace, right? When we cross that line of faith, we rely on the grace of God and what Christ has done for us, we begin to move away from that. And our relationship with God, instead of staying in one that is grace, we turn it into this kind of transaction where we think if we've had a good week, God is proud of us. If we've had a bad week, God is disappointed with us. It turns into this performance to earn God's favor, right? To make God happy with us because of what we do. When my daughter was about 6 years old, one day as a summertime, and we were sitting at the edge of the pool, or I was sitting at the edge of the pool, and she was swimming around, and she had all of her floaty stuff on, and she's having a great time. But then she wanted to start jumping in. She saw some older kids jumping, so now she wanted to jump. And so she got out of the pool, and she got right to the edge, and she would look over, and then she'd take a step back. And then she got to the edge and she looked over and she took a step back. And I said, do you want me to help you? And she said, yeah. And so she would get to the edge of the pool and she'd put out her hand and I would grab it and I'd go 1, 2, 3 and she'd jump in. And then she'd swim over to the ladder and we did this again. She'd get to the edge, I'd hold her hand, 1, 2, 3, she jumped in. So we did this over and over. Now she's worked up a little more courage. But again, she went to the edge of the pool and she looked. She just couldn't quite do it. And so really, I think to give her some motivation, she said to me, Daddy, if I jump in, will you be proud of me? Even now, that six-year-old is so cute. And then she's like, Daddy, are you crying? You know, I was like, no, it's the pool water. It's the pool water, all right? It's a very cute moment. But you know that question of, Daddy, if I jump in, will you be proud of me? Could also have been this, Daddy, if I don't jump in, will you be disappointed in me? But you know, when it comes to our children, our grandchildren, our love for them doesn't change, or at least it shouldn't. Through all the ups and downs of parenting, our love stays the same. And when it comes to our relationship with God, his love stays the same. We don't have to earn his love. It's already there. We don't have to live 1 week and go, man, I've done so much for him. I bet he's more proud of me. I bet he loves me more. Or on the flip side, if you have that down week or that season of sin, oh, God is so disappointed with me. No, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you put your trust in Christ, you are secure. You are his child and his love for you is steadfast. It will never change. His love for you. He will never love you more than he does right now. He will never love you less. Do you believe that? I have struggled with that. I heard a pastor say that a number of years ago. At first I was like, I don't think that's true. But if you are in Christ, if you are his child, he will never love you more than he does right now. He will never love you less. His love for you is steadfast. And so when we quit trying to earn it, when we quit trying to live our life that, God, are you happy with me? We can just rest in his grace. And our motivation is not to earn, but we've already earned that through the work of Christ. And so that is our motivation to keep going, to keep fighting sin, even in that struggle, even when we feel worn out, because we've already been accepted. And so I know that sanctification process is a slow process. It can be a frustrating process. But remind yourself, if you are in Jesus Christ, you will never be condemned. And so when you sin, confess it quickly and get back in the fight. And I think one day when we see Christ face to face, he's gonna take us in his arms. We're gonna feel his love. We're gonna know that was the love he always had for us. And he's gonna say, well done, good and faithful servant. I know it was a struggle. I know it was a battle, but I am proud of you. And so today, if you are struggling, confess any sin that you may have to the Lord and continue to fight. Continue in that sanctification process of looking more and more like your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to give us a time just to reflect, just in the busyness of life. If you're struggling with some shame or guilt, you just can't really shake that feeling. For some past sins, some past failures. Maybe it's years ago, maybe it was this week. If you think you're not measuring up, would you dwell on the reality of God's unchanging love for you? Of his commitment for you? If this week you messed up, or maybe you're in this season of struggling with sin, know that God is not done with you. He will never be done with you if you're in Christ Jesus. Live in the freedom and the grace that we have, that we do not have to try and earn God's favor and his love. We already have it. Let that be our motivation. Let that be your motivation. One of the things too, if you're struggling with sin, it can be helpful to confess that to somebody. Not necessarily saying tap your person next to you on the shoulder, but it may be that you want to come to myself, Rusty, Pastor Jack, Jackie, our prayer team, and just say, hey, here's some stuff I'm struggling with. I want to confess that to you. I want to confess it before the Lord. Would you pray with me? Would you walk with me? I hope you see the reality that you will never be condemned for your sin if you're in Christ Jesus. I hope you see the reality of God's unchanging love for you. Would you thank him for that? Heavenly Father, Lord, we can relate to Paul, Lord, in this, the struggle with sin. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for his honesty, Lord, how open he was, Lord, to benefit that early church in Rome. But Lord, thousands of years later, Lord, his words still apply to us. But Lord, we also see in this passage that he did not stay there. Lord, he dwelled on you, Lord Jesus. He dwelled on the gospel. And Lord, what brought him comfort, what he praised you for, Lord, we ask that we will do the same. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, even to hear that your love never changes, we can push back on that. Lord, help us to break down that barrier. Lord, help us to sense and to know, Lord, just how deep and great your love for us is. Lord, help us to live in that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you're alive today, that you are interceding for us in prayer, even now. Lord, we praise you and we thank you, and we ask all in your name. Amen.